Amen. James is a very practical book, talks about everyday life. I think James is much like Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that just says, you know, here's how to live life in a very practical way. James does that same kind of thinking, deals the same kinds of issues. So here in this passage, he talks about how we conduct our life as it relates to our planning, as it relates to business life, as it relates to everyday life. We all do, or at least should, plan for the future. And as we do that, we need to give serious consideration to how we plan. Because we can plan for tomorrow, we can plan for next week and next year, and in that planning, we can sin. And I think many do that without even knowing that they're really sinning. I want you to notice in these verses the very first two words. Now listen. Now listen. James, in this book, along with Paul in his writings, would say things to get your attention. So as he's writing this, he's kind of writing and going along, and then there's almost a pause, and he says, now listen. Hear this. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Don't let it slip. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to tell you. Stop. Listen. So he says these two words, and really what he's doing is he's kind of wanting us to stop thinking for a moment and to start thinking about what he's saying. Grab our attention. Get us to really buckle down and hear what he has to say. He's going to talk about a very practical issue of our everyday, day in and day out, planning. Now, some of us are nuts. And by that I mean we are perfectionists. So we got every little tiny thing in our life, you know, we got it down. At least we think we do. Others don't really plan very much at all, and they go by the seat of their pants, right? Just, you know, whatever happens, happens, and we'll just kind of float, and we'll just kind of go with things. But no matter who you are, no matter where you fit in that spectrum, anywhere in between, you do some planning, you do some thinking about tomorrow. I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to think about the way you plan. I want you to think about the way you think about tomorrow, next week and next year. And I want you to think about how you go about thinking about what you're going to do. Because that is what James is about to do. And in order to really see what he's saying, we really do have to stop and listen. So listen. Number one, reflect on the example of sinful planning. I want us all for a few moments to reflect on the example that James gives here of sinful planning. And we see this example in verse 13. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. That's our example, and I want you to know right now that that example is sinful. We are always being told that if we are going to be successful in business or successful in life, we have to plan. We have to think. I remember when I went to college. When I was getting ready to go to college, there were no doubts in my mind. I knew I was going to college to be a pastor. I never had to question it. I never had to rethink it through. I never had to change majors like my son just did. I mean, I never had to do any of that. I just knew this is what God wanted me to do, and this is what I was going to do. But I remember while I was at college, almost every year at Liberty University, back then it was Liberty Baptist College, almost every year, and I talked about our ages this morning. I was at Liberty University back in the late 70s and early 80s. I was there from 78 to 82, so that dates me. But while I was there, the pastoral major lost its lead in majors at Liberty University. It was the number one major while I was there, but by the time I became a senior, it had changed. The number one major at Liberty University in 1982, if I remember right, was undecided. We are told if we are going to do well in life that we can't be undecided. We have to plan, we have to mark down our life's path and know what we're going to do as we work our way. You know, you put together business plans, especially if you're self-employed, and then you begin to work that plan. Plan your plan and then work your plan. And if you don't work your plan, then your plan's going to fail. So that's what we need to do. So we see that here. We see him putting together a plan, and his plan is like any other plan that most people would make. In fact, you know what? The Bible even tells us the plan. Those Christians who say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. I can't wait for the Lord to return, and I'm not even going to think about tomorrow. I want you to know that's not biblical. In fact, I could go to one of the smallest creatures in the world, one of the biggest pests in the world, to prove that, and it's the ant. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Let me rephrase that. This is Sika 6, 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you lazy slob. That's what he's saying, you sluggard, you lazy, slobbish person. Consider its ways and be wise. What does it do? What can we learn from the ant? It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant gets ready in summer for winter. It's planning. God has put within the ant the ability to plan. And if you think there is no God, should have been here last Wednesday night. So the Bible tells us we ought to plan. So we look at this plan, and it appears in verse 13 that this business person has put together a pretty good plan and that they're really doing what's biblical. Notice this plan. There's four things we see in this plan. Number one, he gives us the time of his departure. It's a good plan. You know when you're going to go. He says today or tomorrow. He has an idea when he's going to start his business plan. It's going to be today or tomorrow. He's not going to be lazy and, you know, just sit around all day and sit around all week and then boom, down the road to do it. You know, it's like some people when they go on unemployment. They get unemployment for 6 months, so for 5 months and 30 days, they do nothing, and then on day 31, they start looking for a job. He doesn't do that. He says, look, today or tomorrow, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm sure if you've ever been on unemployment, you know if you wait that long, it's not a good idea. I want you to notice, secondly, he gives a place or a destination where he's going. He says, I'm going to go to this city or that city. Now, in our example, the city is not named, but he says, look, it's this city or that city. He knows the city. Connie and I are getting ready to take a trip, and I'm going to have a little fun. I today charged my TomTom. You know it's got to be good if it's a Tom. So I have my TomTom, and then Tom is going to be driving, except we're not going to have a Deb-Deb. We're just going to have a TomTom. Frank, no Deb-Deb on this trip. We're going to have TomTom, so I'm going to take my TomTom and I'm going to put it on my dash, and it's going to have the directions of where we want to go, and then I'm going to take my phone, which also has Sprint navigation. I'm going to take my TomTom and put my Sprint on this side, and I'm going to see if they agree with one another as we go on this trip. I got a feeling they're not going to agree. But he says, look, I know where I'm headed. It's always good to know where you're going, right? You need to know your destination, so that's a good thing. Then I want you to notice he has the duration of his trip. He says, I'm going to spend a year. I know how long that this business trip is going to take. I have an idea of how long I want to be there. So he has the time of his departure. He has the place in which he's going. So he knows when he's going to leave. He knows where he's headed. And he knows how long he's going to be there. That's pretty good planning. I want you to notice he does a fourth thing here. He in his planning, has an assumption of profit. He says he's going to carry on business and make a profit. I want you to know it is good to be positive. It is good to have in your head a positive plan. It's pretty bad if you say, look, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to succeed. Knows when he's going, he knows where he's going, he knows how long he's going to be there, and as he plans his trip, he's thinking positive, he is going to make a profit. Sounds like a good plan, right? What's wrong with that plan? Sounds like the kind of thing Bible says we ought to do. I was doing some reading. January 31st, so a week from today, 1892, a little over 100 years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon spoke on this very passage. And in his introduction, he said the following. Men today, listen to it, men today are just the same as when these words were first written. We still find people saying what they are going to do today, tomorrow, or in 6 months' time, at the end of another year, perhaps still further. I have no doubt there are persons here who have their own career mapped out before them pretty distinctly, and they feel well nigh certain that they will realize it all. They will realize it all. We are like the men of the past in this book. It has been written so long ago. Might have been written yesterday. So exactly does it describe human nature as it is at the end of this 19th century. Sounds like it could have been written today, right? Before the week was out, Charles Haddon Spurgeon would be dead. So what's wrong here? What is wrong with a plan? What is so sinful about this plan? Seems very typical of any businessman or businesswoman. In fact, it could be typical of anyone's vacation. You know, you usually have to pick times when you're going to go on vacation, and usually you have to know where you're going. You have to set up your planning. Where did we go yesterday? What was that thing called we went to? I forget the name of it. You know where you could go to get your hotels cheaper and all that kind of stuff? There's a couple out there, but we were checking. So it sounds even like a typical vacation. But what I want you to notice here, the thing that is sinful is not what he did. It is what is not here. The thing that makes this planning so bad is what we do not find in the plan of verse 13. Because I see nothing wrong with what he did. I think it's a pretty good plan. It's what he didn't do. What he didn't do tells us about life. Beginning in verse 14, James tells us what he didn't do, and he tells us the problem of this plan. So, number two tonight, I want you to note the problems. Note the problems with this kind of planning, and there are three. I want to show you three things wrong with this plan. First one is in verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The first problem with this plan is what is not considered. What is not considered in the plan, and what isn't considered in the plan, it's the uncertainty of life. He doesn't consider how uncertain life is. Nowhere in the plan does he mention that he may not be alive to carry out his plan. He does not say, if God continues to give me life, here's what I plan to do. Now, you may say, well, you know, that's taken for granted, but evidently it is not, since James mentions in verse 14, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a mist. You're here for a little while and then gone, and then you vanish. So James brings out about this plan the problem that he does not consider how short life really is. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, life and events of life are so complicated, we have no idea what's going to happen even tomorrow. Think about snowstorms. In fact, think for a moment about rainstorms. I was watching earlier in the week about the rainstorm that was headed for us this weekend. So I watched as the days were going on earlier in the week, and it said that the storm would hit sometime during the day today, would get real bad this afternoon, and then by the end of the day, we might have 1 to 3 inches of rain. Well, last I look, it's still coming, but it's not coming until sometime during the night tonight, and then they're saying if you have to go to work tomorrow, get there either early or late, because during rush hour tomorrow, it's going to be pouring. I have no idea if that's going to happen. I have no idea. Yeah, I have been watching the weather not all my life, but you know, since I became an adult, especially since I've been a pastor, and I've watched it, especially when I would hunt and fish and I'd want to know what the weather was going to be like, and I would see how they would mess it up all the time. And then I'd watch it for our softball games and I'd see how they'd mess it up all the time. Why? Because as good as they are, they can't do it perfectly. We don't know 100% for sure what's going to happen. In fact, we don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow to see that rain. My mother's uncle and cousin that we have been praying for a long time, Don and Will, we don't know how long they're still going to be alive. They're in God's hands right now. Very, very serious condition. Life is short. You know, how do we plan? Well, let's see, I'm going to leave grade school, and I'm going to go to high school, and after high school is over, I'm going to go to college or some kind of career, you know, schooling program, and when that's over, somewhere along the line, I'm going to get married, and you know, I'm going to build a business, and then I'm going to have kids, and then when that's done, someday I'm going to retire. You know, we kind of plan life out that way, but it doesn't always work that way. I've talked to so many people back when I was in the days of selling life insurance and in the days of selling retirement plans, and you know, people would plan for the retirement, but then they'd hit retirement and one or the other would be sick or one or the other would be dead or something else would happen. He says here, life is a mist. The word is used of a steam, of a vapor. You know, you make coffee. I got Connie a percolator for Christmas. And you might say, well, that's a stupid gift. No, that's one thing she really wanted. She doesn't like these drip coffee makers because she wants her coffee so hot it burns your mouth. It literally burns your mouth. I can't even touch the cup that she drinks the coffee from because I burn my hands. And she tells me it tastes better, but that's the way she likes it. So, yeah, I can see that percolator making all kinds of noise, like it's going to blow the lid off, and then you see the steam coming out. That's the word here. We're mist. We're steam. As long as you see that steam going up, and it's a very short time, and then you watch it, and it's gone. It appears, and it quickly vanishes. Job verse 8, chapter 8, verse 9 says, if we were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow. Job 14, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Psalm 39:5, you have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each day, each man's life is but a breath. Psalm 102:11, my days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 6, says, a voice cries out. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You know, in our planning, we must consider the shortness of life. Psalm 90 in verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So he fails to understand the shortness of life. I want you to notice the second problem. I want you to notice what is left out of his plan. I want you to notice what is left out of his plan. We find it in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, here's the way you ought to plan. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In one word, here's what's left out of his plan. God. God. He left God out of his plan. James says, look, here's how you ought to plan. If it is the Lord's will, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this or that. I started joking with Joe McNally. Joe, I don't know, got to be years, right? I said to him one day, when we were talking about what we were going to do, I said, if it's the Lord's will, and the creek don't rise. So him and I, sometimes when we're planning things, he'll say, if it's the Lord's will, and I'll say, and if the creek don't rise. And sometimes I'll say, if it's the Lord's will, and he'll say, if the creek don't rise. And, you know, we've been joking around with that for years. But the reality of life is, if we're going to plan, the problem with most of our planning is we just leave God out. And let me say this. The problem with most of our lives is that we forget to put God in the center of our life. You know, the problem with most people is not that they're anti-Christian. The problem with most people is not that they're anti-God. It's not that they're enemies of the cross like we looked at this morning. The problem with most people is they simply leave God out. They leave God out of their lives. So in verse 13, the businessman, businesswoman says, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm leaving here, I'm going there, and I'll be there this long, and you know, it's going to be successful. James says, whoa, wait a minute. How do you know that's God's will? How do you know that's what God wants you to do? I believe it's a major problem with our planning. In fact, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Jesus talked about this very thing. Luke chapter 12. I want to begin reading in verse 16. It's very similar to what James says. Luke 12:16. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Again, you look at that plan, you say, not too bad a plan. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. The problem with his American dream of retirement was that he left God out of his plan and didn't realize that very night he'd be dead. Jesus said that in his planning, that God was in the center of it. In John 4:34, he says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." If we're going to plan, we need to plan with God in the center of it, seeking to do God's will. Now, God's will may be your business venture. God's will may be your marriage. God's will may be all kinds of things in life. But God needs to be center of it, and seeking what God wants in our life needs to be the focus of our life. I want you to know, and it's not just tagging on the phrase, "if it's the Lord's will." And the reason I began joking with Joe about that is so that Joe, along with me, would really think in our planning, we're only going to do what's God's will. So God needs to be in the center of our planning. And this man did his planning. I'm going to say he's a guy. We'll blame the men. James has him there. And he says, look, the problem is you're leaving God out. You're leaving God's will out. We need to acknowledge God's sovereignty over our lives. We need to acknowledge that God's plan for our life may be different than our plan for our life. We need to acknowledge that we may be going this way and God may say, no, I want you to go that way. This is what I'm planning to do. This is the date I'm planning to do it. This is when I plan to go. This is what I plan to do. This is where I plan to go. This is what I plan to happen. But I'm only going to do those things if God is willing in my life to leading these things, and if God's direction is what I'm thinking God's direction is. I want to do these things, and I believe this is what God wants me to do, but it is God who has the last say. Bible says that the lot is cast, but the decision is from God. I want you to know, whether you're planning a vacation, whether you're planning a business trip, whether you're planning life, it should never be planned outside God being in the center of all of it. And that is what James is saying here. He's saying in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Number three, third thing that is wrong with this plan, not the third point, but the third thing wrong with this plan. It is what is not seen in the plan. It is what is not seen in the plan. Let me give you one word. It's humility. We don't see humility in this plan. Notice verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, the planning is sinful. We don't see humility. Is the plan based in pride? We think we can plan our future outside the will of God. We think we could say, look, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. I so hate what I hear in our world today. When people say, all you got to do is imagine it and it will happen. And you know, I see that dumb kind of thinking even within Christianity. We pick up that worldly kind of thinking and we bring it into Christianity, and I hear preachers preach it. And we don't filter things through the Word of God. I want you to know, no matter how much I imagine it, I am never going to be a pro basketball player because I'm not 6'6". You know, it's not going to work. It's not about me imagining what I want to happen. It is about God working in my life to bring God glory and to do what God wants for my life. And that's what I want to happen. Now, can I plan for the future? Can I imagine and hope what I want to see happen? Can do those things, but those things are outside. Those things are on the peripheral. God is in the center of my planning and my thinking. says, look, when you do what we see in verse 13, it is boasting. The word is the word used of a braggart talk, the talk of a braggart. He says you brag. An interesting word. It is a word used of false arrogance. You know, when you hear, and usually I hear this of a woman talking to a guy saying, you think you're all that. Someone thinking they're great and they have no reason to be great. It's the word that is used here, false arrogance. So a word that used when one makes more of himself than reality justifies, promises more than he can perform. When you plan like that, all you're really doing is boasting. All you're really doing is bragging about you can accomplish. Realize that that is not humility. So, where do we go? I want you, number three, consider the conclusion of the plan. Consider the conclusion of the plan. Verse 17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. What is the conclusion of the plan? I believe the conclusion of the plan is this. No one knows what will happen tomorrow. No one knows what will happen next year. But what we need to do is we need to focus on that which we know God wants us to do and make sure we do it. I often hear people talking about the will of God. You know, what is God's will for my life here? What is God's will for my life there? And then you look at their life and you say, well, wait a minute. First thing you ought to do is the things that are very clearly marked in the Word of God. Do the things that are very clear in God's Word, and then you can concern yourself with the things that, you know, you got to figure out. Sometimes people go crazy. And they get all confused with Christianity and all worried and all kind of mixed in their head. Because they can't figure out how the sovereignty of God fits together with the free will of man when it comes to salvation and how does all that stuff go together. When they forget to do some of the simplest things in Christianity. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that person sins. As it relates to our planning, what we need to do is we need to make sure we don't leave God out of our plans. The good here within context is making sure that we include God and God's will, and we make that in the center of our planning. Those who know God's will are required to obey it, and if they don't, it is the sin of omission. Sin of not doing what God wants to do. Jesus talked about in Matthew 25 and in Luke chapter 12. Doing the things we know we ought to do, that God has clearly laid out. You know, I also think of Jonah. Remember Jonah, God told Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites, and Jonah said, I don't want to do that. And he ran the other way. So God has him swallowed by a big fish. When God brings him back to Nineveh, he begins preaching to the Ninevites, and he begins telling them that they need to repent of their sin and turn towards God. And you know what happens? They do it. And Jonah gets mad. And he says, you know what, God, this is why I didn't want to go to the Ninevites. I didn't want to preach to them because I knew they'd repent. He wanted God to kill them. He didn't like them. He hated them. Read the story. You'll find that out. We need to look at the clear things we find in the Word of God that clearly are marked out as God's will, the good things God has called us to do. Do those things. Do what is clearly marked out in your life. Do what you know God wants you to do. In your planning, make sure that God is in the center of it. Do what you know is the right thing to do. And let God's leadership take you in your planning. Let me just say it one more time. What is sinful about this planning? First of all, it's ignoring God in your plans. Ignoring God. Again, he didn't do anything majorly wrong, except the major thing he did wrong was not doing what he should have done, and that was to put God in the center. It's boasting about tomorrow. Not considering that your life is in the hand of God, and if God determines that this is your last breath, then this is your last breath. It is arrogance in your planning. You know, you plan your life as if there were no God. You plan your life as if everything was your choice, everything was your decision, everything was based upon how hard you were going to work and what you decided you wanted to happen. And I want you to know that is nothing more than arrogance. Because your life and my life is in the hand of God. And the moment that God says, this is your last breath, and this is your last breath. Some people are all caught up with what they're going to do tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years down the road, and they forget that today they need to do what God wants them to do. Plan. But think about what you may leave out of your planning. Because what you may leave out of your planning may make your planning sinful. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, I pray as we think about tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, I pray, Lord, that we would not forget that our lives are in your hands. Help us, Lord, as we think in our planning that we plan for your will. I pray, Lord, that our heart's desire would be to do what you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to have the strength and the wisdom to do it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.